Well, I'm grateful that you're here today. And if you were here last week, you know that we began a brand new series called The Seven Statements of Our Savior. The Lord Jesus was on the cross, we believe, from 9 in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. From 12 to 3, the Bible says that the billows of God's wrath rolled upon Jesus. And during that time, the sky became dark. But during the 6 hours of Jesus on the cross, he made seven statements. And leading up to Easter Sunday, I want to preach on these seven statements. Last Sunday morning, I preached to you on the subject of, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was the first statement coming out of the mouth of our Savior on the cross as he was bleeding and dying for the sins of all mankind. And today we come to the second statement, the statement that Jesus made in response to a criminal. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Now, by the way, I want you to know that God Almighty had ordained the Lord Jesus when he would be crucified, how he would be crucified, and with whom he would be crucified with. It was no accident that there was a thief on the right of the Son of God and on the left of the Son of God. And the second statement that Jesus made was in response to the request of a dying thief. God does not give us his name, but he represents someone that we need to see today. And the Lord Jesus, in response to this dying thief, he responded, his second statement, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a wonderful statement. The most powerful message maybe that was ever preached was that one statement that Jesus Christ made. And today I'm excited to preach on this subject, how a criminal became a companion of Jesus Christ. Now, before I read this passage together, and we'll begin in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33 in just a moment. But do you know that the last companion on earth that Jesus had was a criminal? Think of that. In fact, when Jesus entered into glory, the glory of heaven or paradise, as the Bible says it here, he came with a man that had just put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing to think about? Listen, Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And he left this earth doing the very thing that he came to do, and that is to reach people with his saving knowledge and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, how a criminal became a companion. Let's begin in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33. And the Bible says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And before I read on, I want you to know something. Jesus did not save himself that day. He could have delivered himself. He willingly gave of his life for you and me. But folks, he could not. He would not save himself to save all of us, that we could have the opportunity to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We read on in verse 38, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now I want you to notice verse number 42, the request of the dying thief. And he said this, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now it may seem striking to think of the Son of God being crucified between common thieves. Now, by the way, these men that were crucified with Jesus were guilty of their sin. They were known to be murderers, and they were known to be robbers and thieves. I mean, they were guilty of death. And there they are hanging there, and both of them speak. Now, I want you to know something, that the Bible says here in this passage that one of them railed on him. But if you read other gospel accounts, you will find something that in the beginning, both of the thieves railed on Jesus Christ. In fact, let's see it together. Would you take your Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter number 27. Now, in order to see the whole story, we need to look at another account given by Matthew. And by the way, the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's like a square. It shows us different angles of stories in the Bible and different events that unfolded. Now, all of the accounts are for a purpose. But let's look in Matthew chapter 27 and let's begin in verse number 39. Notice what the Bible says. Matthew 27 and verse number 39. It says, And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And by the way, Jesus could have come down off that cross, but they would not have believed him. If they did not believe him when he walked on the face of the earth, they wouldn't have believed him. If he in his power, he could have come down. Verse number 41 of Luke, or Matthew chapter 27. It says, Likewise also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now here we find in Matthew's account, and you also find another account in the book of Mark, that does describe that both of the thieves railed on Jesus. They accused him. They said, if you're the king of Israel, then get us off this cross. But Jesus' very purpose, folks, may I say to you that the cross did not happen to the Lord Jesus. He chose to die on the cross for you and me. Oh, listen, yes, men came to take Jesus like they would come and take a common thief. But Jesus willingly gave of himself. Listen, all power belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have delivered himself. He could have destroyed all of those people there that day. But he gave of himself for you and me. And folks, I'm so grateful that God gave himself for me, that I might put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, as most of you know, and I grew up in what's called the Bible Belt. I think the belt of the buckle broke a long time ago. It's not really the Bible Belt really anymore. All of our nation needs the Lord Jesus, no doubt about it. We need revival. We need what only God can do. But I grew up in a good Christian home, and I thank God for my parents. They taught me the Bible. We had devotions together as a family. But you know something? I was not saved until I was 17 years of age. Oh, listen, I could, you know, go to church. They made me go to church. I brought my Bible because they made me have the Word of God. But it did not become personal to me until I was 17 years of age when I said, I, Aaron Samples, am a sinner. And I have sinned against a holy and a righteous God, and I can do nothing to get myself to heaven. I need someone else to rescue me. I need a Savior. And the only Savior, His name is Jesus Christ. I remember the Sunday morning that I left my seat and I walked an old-fashioned aisle and I came to the front and I got on my face before God. And I confessed to God that I'm a sinner, that I've separated, my sins have separated between me and God. And that day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Can I tell you why that day was possible? And why the day was possible for you when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? It's because Jesus went to the cross to bleed and die, to shed His blood for all mankind. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus died on that cross. God literally took the sin debt of the world and He put it upon Jesus. Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. And folks, Jesus died that day. They buried Him in a borrowed tomb, but on the third day, He rose from the grave. Can I tell you something today? We may think, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus as my Savior. Pastor, I know all about this, and I've heard all of this. But folks, listen, this morning, I want to preach to you on this subject, how a criminal became a companion of Jesus Christ. And yes, it is a salvation message, but I believe that it is so important for you and me to revisit our salvation on a regular basis because it brings us to the place of gratitude and thanksgiving to God, but it also helps us to understand, folks, the way you got saved was by grace through faith, and that is how you must live the Christian life. It is by grace through faith. You know something, God didn't save you just to leave you on your own. No, listen, brethren, we now are companions of Jesus Christ. And Christ indwells us and He enables us to live the Christian life as God has instructed us to live. I want you to see some very wonderful things here today about how a criminal became a companion of Jesus Christ. Now, would you take your Bibles? I also want to have you turn to Isaiah chapter number 53. You say, well, Pastor, how is it that Jesus was dying between two thieves? Well, can I tell you that 700 years before Jesus Christ died on the cross, Isaiah the prophet prophesied that Jesus would be numbered among the transgressors. By the way, today we've made almost the cross as something beautiful. And by the way, what Jesus did was a wonderful thing for you and me. But folks, it was not a beautiful thing to behold that day. As Jesus hung there in shame and humiliation and mockery, can you imagine the crowd jeering Him and mocking Him? And in fact, the Bible says that the soldiers took the garments of Jesus and they gambled them away. Think of that. Think of the scene there that day. Here are soldiers gambling for the garments of Jesus Christ. There are the scribes and Pharisees who hated Him, and they're laughing and they're scoffing, and now they've got what they've wanted. People are literally mocking the Son of God. They are spitting upon Him. They are glad that He is crucified. And yet, in that moment, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of that. Jesus came to the cross to forgive us of our sin, but He did not deserve that payment. He did not deserve that treatment. And then on the cross, I want you to think about this. In a moment of agony, not just the pain of having nails driven through His hands and a nail driven through the feet of the Lord Jesus, hanging there with a crown of thorns upon His face, and there in the shame and the mockery, Jesus could have kept to Himself. I mean, He's bearing the sin debt of the whole world. His disciples have forsook Him and fled. All of that has taken place. And yet Jesus thinks about others. He thought about others by saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But there, a common thief, a wicked man, There they are on each side of him. Jesus is identified. Listen, the Holy One is among the unholy. The one who gave the law is among those that broke the law. But listen, it was God's purpose, because there on that day it shows us something. Look in Isaiah chapter 53, and I know I have read this to you often, but would you just go with me again, Isaiah 53 and verse number 4, because I believe it helps us. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." There, God said Jesus would be numbered with the transgressors. Folks, do you understand the magnitude of that day? That God took the sin, your sin, my sin, and Jesus paid for our sin debt. Oh, brethren, how did a criminal become a companion of Jesus? Number one, I want you to notice the picture of humanity. Now, would you in your mind this morning do something for me? I want you to look in your mind, just in your imagination. And by the way, I think it's good to have a sanctified imagination when it comes to the Bible, you know? And to look in your mind and to see that day, to see Jesus hanging there, suffering, sorrowing, and to see on the right of him and on the left of him, common thieves. Can I tell you what that day was? It was a picture of humanity. You see, those thieves represent something for us. They represent you and me. Did you know that we are just like those thieves? We are guilty before God. In fact, the Bible tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of them all." Can I tell you something, brethren, today, based on the Word of God, as it is written, there is none righteous, not one. Every one of us in this building today, we have sinned before a holy God, and we are guilty of breaking all of his commandments. And can I tell you, those thieves, they're crucified, hung on that cross, but beside the Lord Jesus, it is a picture of humanity, because we are all thieves before God. We are guilty. We are guilty as sinners. No man can live and walk the face of the earth and say, "I've never sinned." Only Jesus Christ could have said that. But folks, we are born into this world with a sin nature. Listen, do you know something? You don't have to teach children how to steal. They do it really well. You don't have to teach children to tell a lie. They are masters at liars, are they not? In fact, you know the Bible says that children come forth from the womb speaking lies. My children were great liars, you know. You understand what I mean? Man, in the middle of the night, they start screaming. You think someone's broken the house. You think the house is on fire. You run into the bedroom, bust open the door, and they smile at you, you know. They just giggle a little bit. They were lying to me, you know? We understand that, but listen, folks, those thieves on the cross was a picture of humanity that they were guilty, but those thieves on the cross were condemned. Do you know they were condemned there? They were having their just reward because they were robbers, they were thieves, they were murderers. They deserved to die on the cross. Jesus did not deserve. He took the sin debt of the world. That is a picture of humanity. But thirdly, can I tell you? They were not only guilty and condemned, but they were helpless. Can I tell you something? You could look at those thieves on the cross and you could say, hey guys, I'll tell you what. If you get down off that cross and get baptized, you can go to heaven when you die. Sorry, it's not going to happen. Guys, if you get down off that cross and you'll walk in paths of righteousness and do some good deeds, you'll get to go to heaven. Sorry, they're not getting off the cross. They're dying on the cross. Those men are helpless to do anything for themselves. And that is why it is a picture of humanity. You see, brethren, can I tell you something? You and I did nothing to earn our salvation. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Listen, that day that I came to Jesus Christ on that morning in church in Knoxville, Tennessee, listen, I was helpless, I was condemned, I was guilty, I could do nothing to be saved. But I came to Jesus, the only one who could save me. And listen, why is it a picture of humanity? There is a man on the right of Jesus, on the left of Jesus. By the way, you know the story. One of the men turned to Jesus. And I believe in an hour of faith, he understood that that was the Son of God. And he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. You know what he was saying? God, save me. Take me a part of your family. But the other thief on the cross, who was as near to Jesus as that other thief, who was just as guilty and just as condemned and just as helpless as the other man, he rejected Jesus Christ. That's why it's a picture of humanity. Listen, we live in a world today where people accept Jesus and those who reject Jesus Christ. I'm thankful this past Friday, and we had another Bible club at Mechanicsburg High School. God truly continues to bless there. I don't know exactly how many young people we had, probably close to 60 there this past week. And we had two that received Jesus Christ as their Savior. But you know something? I'll be honest with you. There have been many teenagers come to that club. They hear the same gospel message. They have the same opportunity. They hear the same truth speak and spoken, but they reject Jesus Christ. You see, the thieves dying on the cross there with Jesus is a picture of humanity. Folks, today you are here, and listen, I pray and trust that in a building this size that most of you know Christ as your Savior. But listen, I know that also in a building this size with as many people that are here today, there are some of you who do not know Christ as your Savior. Can I tell you something? I want you to look on that cross. There Jesus is hanging there, bleeding there, dying there for you. You will become either one of the two thieves. Every one of us here, listen, I'm thankful that the Lord had mercy upon me. And that in that moment that He spoke to my heart, yes, I was guilty. Yes, I was condemned. And I had the condemnation of God upon my life. And yes, I was helpless. But I'm thankful that that day, in a sense, I said to the Lord, Lord, remember me. I was putting my faith and trust in Him. But there are some people that will say, if you are the Son of God, then save yourself and us. And if you really are the Son of God, they rail on Jesus. It's a picture of humanity. But number two, I want you to notice not only the picture of humanity, but the prayer of this thief. Now go back in your Bibles, if you would please, to Luke chapter number 23. And I want to show this to you. We'll stay there the remainder of this service. But Luke chapter 23. Now, what was it that caused this one thief to become a companion of Jesus Christ? He was a criminal. Now, look here. Both of those thieves were the same in many ways. They both railed on Jesus. They were both lost. They were both guilty. They were both condemned. And they were both helpless. But one thief looked to Jesus. One thief cried out, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Folks, can I say that the prayer of this thief was something very, very special. By the way, what was it that caused this thief to put his faith and trust in Christ? I believe that there are many things. By the way, many commentators believe that it is possible and very likely that both of the thieves had never met Jesus Christ before this time. I mean, they were thieves. They were murderers. They were on the go. I mean, they were hiding for their life. And finally they were caught, and now they're going to be crucified because of their sin. But there on that cross, let's think of what the thieves heard. What did they hear? Well, they heard a powerful sermon, and the title and the text and all the points were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Both of those thieves heard Jesus say that. And I believe with all my heart that God spoke to both of their hearts. But one thief allowed God to do a work in his heart. I believe that as that thief heard Jesus say that, and he knew what was happening there, I believe that God began to work in his heart, and God worked in both of their hearts, but one of them was willing to believe, and one of them was willing to accept, and that is why he came to the point to say, "Lord, remember me." Now, I want you to notice some things about the prayer of this thief. How did he come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Number one, I want you to notice, go back to Luke 23 and verse number 40. I want you to notice that number one, he humbled himself before God. Do you know that I believe that's the beginning? We are proud people by nature. Did you know that? We really are. We lift ourselves up. We exalt ourselves. We often think too highly of ourselves. And why will a man or a woman not put his faith and trust in Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because he's proud. Luke 23, and look what it says in verse number 40. It says, as this man is speaking, he says, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Now here, I believe the Holy Spirit had been at work in this thief's heart. And he before had rallied against Jesus, and he had reviled him. He had spoken just like the crowd had spoken. But there in those hours, 6 hours they were crucified with Jesus. 6 hours they hung on the cross. And in that 6 hour time, the Spirit of God began to work in that thief's heart. And there as he heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Listen, only a Savior could have said those words. Only a man of true forgiveness. I mean, he watched what those people had done to Jesus, who is called the King of the Jews. And by the way, he read the superscription that day. This is the King of the Jews. He watched Jesus as he responded. And by the way, do you know something? Even after all that was said and done on that day, even some of the soldiers knew that that truly was the Son of God, because they beheld Jesus that day. Listen, this thief put his faith and trust in Christ before the rocks and the earth trembled that day, before the sky became dark, before the veil of the temple was rent in two. Listen, this man truly put his faith in Christ, because I believe first he humbled himself. His friend, his cohort in crime, his friend that had, listen, they had robbed and stolen together. They had done unthinkable things together. But as his friend had railed on Jesus, he rebuked his friend. He said, "Dost not thou fear God?" You know what he was saying? He was saying, "Listen, don't you fear God? Don't you know that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth? Don't you understand that God created us? Don't you understand that God is the judge of all? Dost thou not fear God?" Listen, you know what that man did? He humbled himself before God. Before anyone comes to the place of salvation, can I tell you what they do? They humble themselves before a holy God. But secondly, I want you to notice that he acknowledged that he was a sinner. Look back in verse number 41. He goes on to say, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Can I tell you that this man admitted that he was guilty and worthy of death. He acknowledged that he was just to be on the cross. He didn't make excuse for his sin. He said, listen, dost thou not fear God? Listen, we are receiving the due reward of our justice. Justice is being served today because we have robbed and we are guilty and we are condemned. Yes, we are. He acknowledged that he was a sinner. And folks, before anyone can put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they must pass judgment upon themselves. They must say, I'm a sinner. And I have sinned against a holy God. In fact, the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know something? God uses the law of his word to show us that we can never keep the law. In fact, the Bible says that the law is our school teacher to show us that we are sinners and that we are guilty before God. And this man, he humbled himself. Dost not thou fear God? And then he acknowledged that he was a sinner. The third thing about this thief, his prayer, notice what he did. He believed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look back in verse number 41. It says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. You know something? That thief seemed to sense the holiness of Jesus Christ because he first seen the sinfulness in his own life. Do you know why so many people do not see the perfectness of a holy and a righteous God? Why they do not see the righteousness of our Savior? Because they think they're righteous. They think they're just before God. But this man, when he saw his sinfulness, he acknowledged, God, I'm a sinner. Lord, you know everything I've done. And I'm dying on this cross because I deserve to die. I'm guilty, yes. I'm condemned, yes. And I deserve everything that I'm getting. But he said, this man, Jesus, has done nothing amiss. Oh, folks, before a person can be saved, they must understand that they are sinners, but Jesus Christ is the sinless one. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. And then would you notice lastly in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what he did that moment? He put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, remember me. Now, by the way, that dying thief was never baptized. That dying thief never joined a church. That dying thief never partake of the Lord's Supper. But that day he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he was saved, and he entered into heaven. And folks, can I tell you something? Everybody is saved the same way. It is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is not through the waters of baptism. It is not through joining a good church. And yes, after we are saved, we should be baptized. And after we are saved and baptized, we should join a local believer, a body of believers, and worship and serve God together. But those are not the things that earn our salvation. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. We see this man's prayer. But thirdly and lastly, this is where I wanted to bring you to. We see the picture of humanity here on the cross. We see the prayer of this thief, but thirdly, we see the promise of our Savior. Go back to verse number 43. I love this. And Jesus said unto him, verily, that word simply means truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now I want you to think just for a moment. Do you know something? That thief was an outcast from society. I mean, let's be honest. Listen, when those thieves died, the people were pretty glad about it. Because they were a menace to society. They were outcasts. They were murderers. They were thieves. They were robbers. They were men that broke the law. And yet that man had enough courage and faith to say, Lord, remember me. Listen, nobody was going to remember him. But Jesus didn't just remember him. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a promise that God, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to that man. By the way, look at the Savior's response. You know what Jesus could have said? Jesus could have said, you deserve your fate, and that would have been true. Jesus could have said, you're a wicked robber and you merit death today. Jesus could have said to him, you should have sought me sooner. But that day, Jesus, in the midst of his agony, folks, I guess I can't get over that. Have you ever been sick before or hurting before? You just want to be left alone, don't you? You know, listen, just don't bother me. I'm in pain, but not Jesus. Jesus, in the midst of what he was dealing with, we would almost say, hey, leave Jesus alone. He's dying for the sins of all mankind. But yet Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In the midst of his heartache, and listen, I don't know that I can adequately describe what Jesus went through on the cross. It was not just the pain. It was not just the sorrow. Listen, he dealt with physical pain, but he dealt with emotional pain. He was the God-man, and Jesus was suffering what no man has ever suffered. He suffered the separation of his heavenly Father. Do you know that God literally turned his back on his Son on the cross because Jesus became sin for us? Listen, he was cursed on the cross, and God literally judged Jesus in my place, in your place. That's why Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Listen, he was not saying, I don't want to go to the cross. He was saying, Lord, let this cup, that bitter cup that he had to take, the cup of separation, he said, let it pass quickly, because he did not want to be out of separation from his Father soon. Oh, brethren, Jesus in that midst said, yes, I will save you. Yes, I love you. Oh, listen, brother, I'm going to tell you something. If you could have seen that thief, it was a man most miserable. A man that we would say, yeah, listen, get rid of him. He doesn't belong here. And does he belong in heaven? Jesus thought so. Jesus said, today, you and I will be in paradise. In fact, I'm reminded of the promise that Jesus said, to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, Jesus was bearing our sin debt. He was bearing our shame and our reproach. And in that moment, and I want to say this to you, no sinner can never come to Jesus in an unacceptable time. Jesus will save you. Listen, I would say on the cross, that was not a good time. That man should have got saved before he went to the cross. And that man should have put his faith and trust in Jesus before that. But there he was, condemned, guilty, and helpless. And yet Jesus took time to reach a man that was able and willing to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what does this do for you? I'm going to tell you what it does for me. I'm going to say this. Listen, Christ came into this world to save sinners. And he left it and went to paradise accompanied by a common criminal, because that man was willing to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can I simply say this to you? I see on the cross, I see many things, but I see a Savior that was longing for fellowship. Do you know something, brethren, today? God has not just saved us to serve him. We know that. We've been taught that. And that's a part of the truth. But the Lord has not just saved us so that we might serve him. He has saved us for fellowship. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says that God hath called us unto the fellowship of his Son. You know something? The thief went straight from the cross to heaven to be with Jesus. You know what Jesus could have said to the thief? He could have said, today, you'll be in paradise. Now that would have been great, would it not have been? Would that not have been a wonderful promise? But Jesus made it more intimate than that. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Can I tell you something? The Bible clearly tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In fact, Paul told us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, he said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Oh, listen, we have the great comfort today to know that Christ indwells us day by day. But there is coming a day when I will see Jesus face to face. You know what? Heaven. We think about heaven. I wonder, do you think about it a lot? Do you think about what heaven's going to be like? Listen, if you think that heaven is just going to be a great place because there'll be no sorrow and suffering there, that's wonderful, but that's not the greatest thing about heaven. If you think that heaven's a place where I'll see my loved ones again, that's wonderful, but that's not the greatest thing about heaven. You may think that heaven is great because of the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and all the beauty of heaven. That's wonderful. But the most important thing about heaven is that we are with Jesus Christ. Listen, heaven would not be heaven without our Savior. And that's why Jesus told the thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Listen, I am so thankful for a Savior who loves you and me. He loves us with an unquenchable love. He loves us with an unending love, an unsearchable love. Listen, He wants to have fellowship with us. And folks, today, if you're a child of God, the Lord wants to have fellowship with you here and now. He wants to walk with you day by day and talk with you day by day. He longs for that fellowship. By the way, the word paradise, we don't see that word often, but it's a word that literally means a walled garden. And you know, in a sense, he was invited into the king's paradise. That was to join him in fellowship in a walled garden. Think of that. He was going to be with him in heaven. Listen, Jesus was known as the friend of publicans and sinners. And he is our friend today. Now you say, well, Pastor, what does this message all mean? Well, I showed you this morning how Jesus took a common criminal and made him a companion. Maybe you're here this morning. I do not know the state of your soul. I don't know what thief you are. We're all thieves. We've all stolen from God. We've all stolen time from Him. We've taken that which does not belong to us. We've stolen His glory. We've stolen His honor. We're thieves. We're sinners in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. No man can look before God and say, "I've never sinned." No man can do that. But folks, today, I don't know what thief you are. You might be the thief that rails on Jesus, and that's all that you do, and you reject Him, and you spend eternity in a place called hell. By the way, that day, both of those thieves died, and one entered into heaven with Jesus, and one entered into a place called hell for all of eternity. You know something? There's coming a day that I'll get to meet that thief. I'll get to know his name. I can talk to him about that day that he received Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me." Who are you like this morning? Can you see yourself today? Either you are the thief that has received Jesus or you're the thief that has rejected him. But I want you to know something today. If you're here in this service, God loves you. And God wants you to be with Him in heaven one day. He wants to walk with you day by day. He desires to be your companion. He loves you and cares for you. And today, if you are willing by faith to acknowledge that you're a sinner, to humble yourself before God, and to acknowledge that you're a sinner, and to see that Jesus is the only righteous one, and to see that Jesus is the only way, I'm going to tell you something. When you come to God by faith, He has promised to not reject you. You know, there, that thief, listen, when he said, "Lord, remember me," Jesus could have rejected him, but he would not reject a man who comes to him in faith. And today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, I beg of you, I plead with you to put your faith and trust in Jesus. You say, "Pastor, I've got time. There's another day. There's another sermon." Listen, no man has a promise that when we leave these doors here today, that we will ever be able to enter back into these doors. No, none of us, including myself, I don't have a promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, listen, put your faith and trust in Him. But if you're a child of God here this morning, this message should cause us to be so grateful that God gave His only begotten Son for you and me. That God loved us in spite of our criminal activity before God. That even in our helpless condition, Jesus died for you and me. Listen, we are helpless just like those two thieves are. And brethren, we should leave this building rejoicing, praising God, and bringing glory to His name. But we should also leave this building wanting to tell others about our Savior, that He died for us. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. If that dying thief who put his faith and trust in Jesus was here on the face of the earth today, do you think he'd tell others about the Savior? I know that he would. I believe he would go around saying, let me tell you about a Savior who died for me, a Savior who, when I was on the cross, condemned and guilty, he saved me from my sin, and he can save any man, woman, boy, or girl that is willing to put their faith and trust in him. But today, can I say something for you, child of God? You're now a part of the family of God. Jesus Christ indwells you. It's called Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is your constant companion. Yes, one day we will see him face to face, but he's with you day by day. He is the one who enables you because we are helpless. Oh, listen, I cannot live a righteous life. Only Christ in me can enable me to live the life that God wants me to live. Oh, yes, I'm still a sinner. I still have that old sin nature, but I'm a part of the family of God. And I can never get out of God's family. Oh, folks, today I see a criminal who became a companion. And today, no matter who you are, the Lord wants you to be his companion. Let's bow our heads in prayer.